Vern Locks loved birds. He loved to hear their calls.
Maybe we could hear that one more time since we just love sapsucker calls. It's amazing. Nice.
He loved to imitate their calls, too.
I do a terrible owl imitation, but I have been out on the edges of places when an owl is calling out in the distance, and I'll cup my hands and go, and I've had them respond. They'll come flying in. If you go out on a moonlit night, you can actually see them.
And Locks love to watch birds, especially the long-tailed ducks on Nantucket.
They're coming, starting over here. They were at 1,000 feet, and I was standing right out on the edge of the beach. They drop, and they tilt from side to side. They slip, and you hear the sound. It's like a freight train over your head. You hear that, and they were going. I mean, they had to be going 100 miles an hour in the descent, and then they rock right down to the surface of the water. And just, you know, wow.
The birds lost a friend in Vern Locks early Thursday morning when Locks died from complications related to esophageal cancer. Since he was 12 years old, Locks had studied birds, spending any time he could outside, admiring their flight and daydreaming about what it would be like to soar with them above the earth. He advocated for birds. He protected them. And he even saved them when he could.
I had a hummingbird on I was watching when I had my camera, and it was in a little garden with a chicken wire that went around the garden. And I look, and one of its toes got stuck in the wire. I had to try to take its toe out of the chicken wire, which was just so incredibly delicate and small, and I was so afraid I was going to hurt its toe. But I managed to get the hummingbird out, and it flew off, and it made me feel really good.
Edward Vernon Locks was born on St. Patrick's Day in 1955, and for 60 years, he brought the party with him wherever he went. Across 7 continents, including more than 20 trips to the Antarctic, Locks approached birding with unbridled enthusiasm, joy, and respect for the natural world. This was no quiet, bookish birder. He was the gonzo ornithologist, and every birding trip was a reason to celebrate.
If you could take sort of a Keith Richards, maybe a little bit of Belushi thrown in there, you know, an NBA basketball player, a defensive lineman, that would be Vern as a bird watcher.
That's fellow bird watcher Pete Trimble, one of Locks' best friends, who birded with him for more than 30 years.
He was one of the best field birders that I've ever been out with. Eyes that could pick up anything in the distant sky. Just a fabulous birder. But he knew so much about birds on the scholarly level as well. So just a real treasure. And of course, he was so happy to introduce people to birds, to lead tours, to lead bird walks.
Locks grew up in Wellesley. His family moved to the Cape when he was in high school. By that time, Locks already was an avid birder. He credits one of his 8th-grade teachers with introducing him to birding. And for much of his life, Locks took on the role of educator himself, leading birding expeditions both internationally and on Martha's Vineyard in Nantucket, where he lived for many years. He penned columns for local newspapers, and he wrote and voiced bird news on WCAI each week, while also appearing on The Point with Mindy Todd each month to answer birding questions.
I think part of the magic about Vern, so many people, listeners, were really, you know, engaged with him. And these were people, some who were not birders. I can't tell you how many listeners would say, I love listening to Vern Locks. I don't know anything about birds. I don't really care about birds. But he's so entertaining and so educating at the same time that he had an amazing fan base.
In 2004, Locks found himself featured on the front page of the New York Times after spotting an unusual bird near Katama Airfield on the vineyard. It was a vagrant bird, a bird that had no business being on Martha's Vineyard, somehow found its way into Locks' line of sight, a red-footed falcon, a bird of prey thousands of miles away from its home territory in Europe and Africa. Locks was the first person to see one in the Americas. WCAI's Jay Allison remembers Locks coming onto the airwaves to discuss his discovery.
Our All Things Considered host, it was Naomi Ehrenberg at the time, called Vern on the cell phone. He was racing in his car to where this falcon was and giving a play-by-play of where he was driving on the vineyard. And you could hear him just shouting with glee and frustration at other drivers. And it was the most immediate moment of radio. And it's just because of his personality. He just filled up the speakers with his pleasure.
Locks respected education and learning. He was proud of his children, Lily and Edward, and he loved living on the Cape and Islands, beneath one of the world's great bird migration flyways. When it came down to it, Locks was a man who wanted to fly. He daydreamed about having wings, and as he sometimes told callers to the point, he constantly wondered what birds were thinking about as they soared and swooped and did bird things.
What are they doing up there? I mean, is it for the sheer joy of it, or... I mean, they're up so...
I always wished I could go fly up and ask them. Speak of it, you know. It certainly looks like they're having an awful lot of fun, and I'm very jealous. I wish... imagine spending the afternoon soaring around.
The Birdman, Vern Locks, died early Thursday morning at Nantucket Cottage Hospital. He was 60 years old. And while there are perhaps a million ways to write a story about someone who has passed away, particularly someone as worldly and as admired as Locks, there's only one way to end this story, with Vern's very own words. Until next time,
keep your eyes to the sky.
For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran.